You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, episode number one. In our very first episode, I will share with you my own journey towards simplicity, the big aha moments I had, and how I learned to make more space in my own life.
You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, where we understand that needing less helps us to be so much more. Entrepreneur and sustainability advocate, Meg Ross, will help you to break down how to create more space in your life. Get ready to hear from strong women who are redefining what living well looks like. If you've dreamed of being present, cutting the clutter, and putting an end to the busyness, this is the place to be. Here's your host, designer, motivator, and simplicity enthusiast, Meg Ross.
Hello, friends. It's Meg Ross. I'm so excited to be launching the Simply Lived In podcast. In many ways, I'm very unqualified to host a podcast. I have no experience doing so. I often ramble. I'm only 24 years old, and I feel like I don't really have that much wisdom to share with the world. So now that I've basically convinced you to turn off this podcast, please stay on for just a few minutes longer because in this first episode, I'm going to share my journey with you and why I did, in fact, despite all of the reasons I just mentioned, decide to create this podcast around simplicity to share it with you all. My simplicity journey became a tiny thought in the back of my brain when I was starting my clothing label, 956 Studio. I decided to go off on my own with my own clothing label in 2016 after working as a seamstress for the Minneapolis-based ethical clothing label Winsome Goods. I'd gone to college for apparel design and development at UW-Stout in Wisconsin. Our education was very technical. We learned about garments and how they went together and how to create a garment with good fit and how to test fabric, all these amazing things to create quality clothing. But we also learned about the negative aspects of the apparel industry. Almost always, our favorite fast fashion brands participate in practices that exploit the people making the garments and exploit the environment in a very extreme way. Throughout my 4 years in the program, I had two good friends who at different times both seriously considered changing their major because they were so disheartened by the negative aspects of the industry. I was never completely disheartened. I saw the injustices that were happening, and I knew that I wanted to be on the side that was working to end those injustices. And I knew that the momentum for change needed to come from inside the industry. So my humble beginnings of having my own ethical clothing label included working out of my bedroom in my parents' house with my mattress on the floor and my dresser in the hallway so that there'd be room for my sewing and drafting tables in my room. This living working situation had its ups and downs for sure. I was long distance from my boyfriend, Joe, and spoiler alert, he is now my husband, so we made it through those years living away from each other. That said, this really was a challenging time for me, trying to keep my head above water with managing my life and starting my own label. I really didn't know what to do. I had no idea what I was doing. I was 22 at the time, and I really didn't have experience in the industry, but I was so motivated to succeed, and my parents were so supportive of me, so I just continued the grind. And as I was creating so much stress in my life, trying to do the right things to succeed, something happened that was completely unexpected. My dad was diagnosed with terminal stage 4 colon cancer. My family was told that he had about 2 years to live. I was still living at home at the time. I remember when I heard the news. I was still sewing for Winsome at the time. And we had known that my dad was going in for some tests. We knew that we were going to get some news. I made my mom tell me over the phone if the news was good or bad. And when she told me, I felt a crushing weight hit me. I did the thing that you see in movies where my back was against the wall and I literally just sunk down the wall until I was sitting. And I stared across the hallway to the other white brick wall. And I remember I just felt fear. Pushing past that point was one of the hardest things that I've had to do so far in my life. And I've since come to love the idea that there are only really two emotions, and that is fear and love, and that we best serve ourselves and others when we make decisions out of love. My family did the best that we could to accept our diagnosis, and though it was easy to act out of fear, and we're all still guilty of that sometimes, we focused on making our decisions from a place of love. So we decided to start living more healthfully. We started with our food. We started eating a plant-based diet, and I have since started eating meat again, which is a topic for a different episode, but my parents are still primarily plant-based. And the most important thing about their diet is that everything they eat is made from food in its most whole form. There are no additives or preservatives. Nothing is processed, although everyone has cheat days. The diet is really helping my dad through his chemotherapy. His spirits are still high after a year and a half with cancer. And for the most part, he still looks and feels healthy and strong. I want to jump back for a minute to the days after my dad was diagnosed, because in addition to figuring out how we would move forward as a family, I was also selfishly thinking about something very important that I wanted to do. I wanted to be married so that my dad could walk me down the aisle. So in the spirit of a true romantic, I asked Joe to propose to me. Although we wanted to be married anyway and by no means felt like we were rushing into anything, when I say it out loud so casually like that, I remember the weight of our circumstances when we made that really important life decision. We had only been dating for a year and a half, but we just knew that we wanted to spend the rest of our lives together. So 2 months later, Joe took me to his favorite place, which was the land that he used to hunt with his dad and his uncle when he was growing up. We sat in his truck for a while, looking out over the snowy woods, and I remember I rested my head on his shoulder and I felt his warmth and his breathing, and I just had a feeling deep in my heart that everything was going to be okay. I should point out that although I said 2 months, like it was no time at all, it was actually probably the longest 2 months of my life. And by the time we were sitting in his truck at that moment, I had given up almost all hope that he was going to propose to me. But shortly after, we took a walk and he led me to a log that said, "Will you marry me?" carved into it. He used a chainsaw to do that, by the way. He continues to do surprising and impressive things like that. We got married at his parents' farm in an old barn that we restored. We had a beautiful September wedding. All of our friends and family were there. My dad was there. He walked me down the aisle. He danced with me. He gave a speech about Joe and I. It was absolutely perfect. After the wedding, Joe and I decided to move in together. We moved to Wisconsin for his job, to a town of about 7,000 people. I am originally from the Twin Cities of Minnesota, so moving to a place where I didn't have any fitness centers, I didn't have my health food stores, and I didn't have a coffee shop every 2 miles to go meet with my friends was definitely an adjustment. I worried a lot about losing touch with my health and my style and my life. As a 23-year-old newly married entrepreneur who barely left her home and was suddenly in a place where she only knew two people, I had some work ahead of me to figure out how I was going to live the life that I wanted. In many ways, it was a fresh start. I had a chance to say, here I am, and I have this opportunity to live the life that I want to live. There's nobody pulling me in certain directions. I don't have a job. I don't have friends here. I just have my sweet husband, who works about 12 hours a day, and I have myself, and I have my ambition. So let's see what we can do. And what happened is that my life started to unfold more simply. When I first realized I was living more simply, it was because of our food. As I mentioned with my dad, we were making these healthy, organic, simple, whole food meals. And that was something that I wanted to carry into my life with Joe. Joe is a lineman. He puts up power lines for his job. And like I said, he works really long days. So he was not on board with the vegan lifestyle. It was not something that he was going to go along with. So instead of focusing on plant-based food, I went back to the concept of starting our meals with food in their most simple form. And this looked like shopping for a lot of fruits and vegetables, yes, but also adding in other foods that were minimally processed. By simplifying our foods, our bodies had less to digest, and it didn't have to work as hard to get the nutrients out of those foods. So our bodies had to go through less stress. And we were nourishing ourselves with food that was actually put on this earth to nourish us, which is a novel concept. We weren't eating these processed foods that were made in a large factory with a lot of chemicals so that a large corporation could make money. I also transitioned to at-home workouts. These ended up being a lot more meditative and strength-based than the loud, high-energy group fitness classes that I was used to. I quickly realized the importance of simplifying my thoughts and my mind for my health, when before I was really only focusing on what physically I was putting into my body. It didn't take long for me to start actively making choices based on simplicity, because I could see how well it was serving me. I felt so much less stress. From creating more space to just experiment, to be creative, to be adventurous, and to be loving. It took me actually practicing simplicity before I realized how much I needed it. Suddenly, I was aware of the stressors in my life. I was aware of what I could do to reduce them. The more simple my routines became, the more I craved the simplicity. And I could recognize when I was making choices away from simplicity just by the way I felt. And then I could steer myself back to simplicity through my daily choices. And as my life became more simple, I started noticing the impact of the things that I surrounded myself with in my home and my workplace. These were also really important in reducing stress. So the idea of having less transitioned into my closet and what I was wearing. I ended up basically having a capsule wardrobe where I would have only about 30 garments in my closet at a time, and I would just wear them over and over. So every morning when I'd open my closet to get dressed, I'd see only the things that I love to wear. I don't start my days wasting time and spending energy on what I should wear today, or if I'm feeling like wearing it, or feeling like I don't have enough clothing in my closet when my closet is full. I know that I've invested in every piece in there, and I know that it will look good and that I will feel good. This really reduces decision fatigue, and it reduces stress. We put a lot of stress on ourselves throughout the day. And really, it just doesn't need to be there. Once I started building my life so that there were less reasons for stress, I felt less stress, which is basically the most simple concept. But many people do all these extravagant, elaborate things to try to avoid stress in their life. And stress, by the way, is something that really negatively affects all of our health. And it's linked to many chronic illnesses, but it doesn't really get the blame that it deserves. People aren't out in their lives actively saying, my number one priority is to have less stress in my life. When in my opinion, our health and the wellness of ourselves and others in our lives should be our top priority. In my own journey towards wellness, I felt like I was following a breadcrumb trail, and I would keep finding little crumbs, and they would be aha moments for me. One of my aha moments came when I was so excited about this concept of a capsule wardrobe. I was Googling it, and I stumbled upon Courtney Carver and her work. Courtney is one of the first people to start blogging about the power of simplicity. Her book, Soulful Simplicity, was like finding a whole loaf of bread at the end of my breadcrumb path. Although it was probably more like only finding a piece of bread because it wasn't by any means the end of my journey. Courtney speaks about creating space for love in our lives by getting rid of all of the things that don't really matter to us. And a huge way to do this is by reducing busyness. She makes a point in her book, and it's amazing. It's about how anytime we have a conversation with someone and we ask, how are you? More often than not, they answer something like, oh, I'm good. I'm so busy. Busyness has become a badge of honor in our society. And I didn't realize how much I wore it as a badge of honor until it was made conscious to me and brought to my attention. That this is really just a way that people justify their lives and justify how valuable they are to society. And that's something we can dig way, way into later. My busyness was something that was so important to me. It was so important for me to realize that I was using my busyness in that way so that I could become more cognizant of what I was doing in my life and why I was doing it. Something that Courtney's book made me realize is that everyday choices really do matter. And it's these choices that we make that build how our lives will unfold. Similar to my situation, Courtney also had illness as a wake-up call for her to start creating a more simple life. I wanted to start this podcast because it doesn't need to be that someone has a sudden, scary, horrible, awful thing happen to them to make them realize that they might not be living as intentional of lives as they could be, and they might not be having as full of lives as they really want. Not lives full of stuff and things, but lives full of love and happiness and family. Those are the things that we begin to focus on when we simplify our lives. We start to ask, what can we make space for? What do we want to make space for? What important things can we have when we're not so focused on all of these arbitrary goals and things that come and go in our lives and define our success and our happiness? To paraphrase the founder of Patagonia, Yvonne Chouinard, some of the hardest things to do in life is to simplify, because the whole world is pulling us to be more complex. And I love that, because it's completely true. It's hard to change our perspective away from the ads we see telling us that we would be happier if only we would buy this thing or join this membership. We compare our worth to our friends on social media because of what they have or what they are doing, when really we just need to stay in our own lane and look inward to what's important to us. And then we can start to take small steps in our everyday choices, including what we eat, what clothing we buy, and what we schedule into our lives. And it starts to make such a difference into our overall wellness. I'm so pumped to start this podcast and have you along as we learn from amazing women who are leading the way in the simple revolution. We have some awesome guests lined up, including designers, directors, authors, farmers, and so many other talented and courageous humans who have opened their minds and opened the minds of others to live a more simple and more meaningful life. I don't want this to be another podcast that will make you feel like you can't eat a cheeseburger or you have to go out and buy hemp sheets. I want this to be a positive, uplifting place where you can come as yourself. Show up as yourself with an open heart and an open mind to listen to what other people have to say. They might be doing things a little bit differently than you, but it might really serve you. I want this to be a place where you can try on the things that you like and leave the things you don't like. So I hope you take me up on my invitation to learn alongside me. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast, and I absolutely cannot wait to dive in.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Lived In podcast. Dive into show notes for this episode and all past episodes at simplylivedinpodcast.com. If you love the show, please share with your friends. Help us to spread the power of simplicity. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep up your quest for less.